Forgotten Women of Juarez is a podcast by journalists Monica Ortiz Uribe and Oz Walushin, which delves into the femicides in the border city of Ciudad Juarez, where hundreds of women have gone missing. The story of Forgotten investigates theories about what or who is responsible, a serial killer, organ traffickers, a satanic cult, and pursues an investigation with law enforcement on both sides of the border, terrified witnesses, and corrupt authorities. Today, my guests are hosts of Forgotten Podcast, Monica Ortiz Uribe and Oz Walushin. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Muchas gracias, Marina.
Thank you so much.
So how did you all come together? I know you address it in your first episode, but it's an interesting story. And I mean, Oz, you've got an interesting accent that I think our friends will hear. So just want to know how you got interested in Ciudad Juarez to begin with.
Well, it all started when I read an article series in the New Yorker magazine, actually, which is more context than we have in the podcast, by Alfredo Corchado and Angela Cocherga, which was called Faces from the Border. And it was 2015, so it was relatively early in the Trump presidency. And the series of articles were about Hispanic Border Patrol agents. And of course, at the border, that's not a very surprising phenomenon. But if you've never been to the border, the idea that these increasingly brutal policies against migrants are being enforced by Hispanic agents was really surprising to me and to other friends in New York who I discussed it with. And so I worked with a friend of mine to raise some money to basically produce a short documentary about life on the border. And we profiled a former Border Patrol agent and a woman who was having some problems with her legal status to talk about what those two experiences were like and how, in some sense, they're obviously very different, but also there were some parallels about feeling alienated from the community and various other things like that. And in the course of being in El Paso, I worked with a wonderful producer who works with Weird Move West, a production company. And he and I got talking and I said, you know, what stories do you find most fascinating here? And he told me about the femicides, and I'd never even heard of them before. And I was shocked because it was like my seventh trip to the border, and this idea that there were hundreds of young women being killed within sight of where we stood was just very shocking. And I wanted to do more projects on the border, and so I pitched the project to iHeartRadio, and they were interested, and then I realized I couldn't possibly do it alone. So I called Angela and said, do you know anyone? And she said, I just might. And then that's how it all began between me and Monica.
Yeah, Angela, I got an email from Angela saying, look, I got this request. I don't know who this person is, but I'll let you figure that out and decide. our conversation started over an email. And of course, this isn't the first time that I've been approached by someone that's not from here wanting to do this story. I mean, the story has been told many, many times in many, many mediums and very much by people who aren't from here. And so I had a bad experience previously. And so I was very, very skeptical to work with somebody else, especially somebody I didn't know. And also at the time, the emotional toll that this story takes on you over time had really been burdening me. And I was thinking, you know, I probably should take a break from reporting on this really heavy stuff, like the effects of the drug war and the murdered women, and maybe focus on something else. And right as I was contemplating this move, I get an email from Oz asking me to join in on this project. I thought about it long and hard. What he was proposing was something very different from what I spent my entire career doing. I'm a radio reporter, and most of my stuff goes to National Public Radio. And I have to explain often very complicated issues in 4 to 5 minutes, because that's right, the time slot that we get. And here Oz is coming along, offering me an opportunity to tell a story that's haunted me my entire career, myself and many other journalists and storytellers, in the course of 5 hours, in 10 half an hour episodes, basically. I ended up saying yes, because I felt a commitment to tell this story that dated back from when I was a college student at UTEP, when I first found out about these murders.
And you mentioned something interesting, because yes, several people have told this story. We know the story. We've lived the story. We've all tried to do something about this, because the femicides are still very prevalent. I mean, the moment you cross the bridge downtown, there's a pink post with a black cross. You see it. So it's not forgotten. But you all really have the opportunity to tell this story differently and really, really dive in. I got two episodes in and I saw that right away you engaged with Diana Washington Valdez, who was in it. So what was that like for you guys?
For me, it was interesting. You know, for me, it was like a double journey. On the one hand, you know, I was having my eyes open to this terrible, horrific and ongoing series of crimes. But on the other hand, I was being guided by Monica through her world. I mean, I knew who Diana Washington Valdez was, and I owned a copy of The Killing Field. And then on the way there, Monica casually mentioned, oh yeah, I interned for Diana when I was at the El Paso Times when I was in college.
You're like, oh, okay.
And similar with Alfredo Cuachado, Monica recommended the incredible book Midnight in Mexico, and then we were talking and it turned out that, you know, Monica worked with his mother to do a tribute for Freddy's Cafe. And, you know, it's just the richness. It's been really honestly a privilege to have this journey through, you know, these incredible people.
Yeah, no, and it certainly, I wasn't very generous with my trust, as probably a good journalist shouldn't
right.
be. that trust developed certainly over time. But I want to add that that when Oz came and proposed this project, his timing couldn't have been better, because it was fall of 2018. I had just returned from getting a master's degree in New York City and was contemplating, well, what am I going to do now that I'm back home? I started freelancing and I was available. I was available for the work. And secondly, he came to me at a point in my career where I had been reporting on the border for a little more than a decade. And it's different, you know, I'm born and raised here, right? But you mm-hmm. see this place so much differently through the eyes of a reporter than you do through the eyes of someone who's born and raised here. And so not only was he offering me an opportunity to tell this story that has been very dear to my heart, but tell it at a time when I understood the dynamics, the larger dynamics behind this story, much better than at any other point in my career. And then again, this long form platform to talk about these complexities and how our actions in the U.S. have an impact on people's lives in other countries, even and particularly our neighbors less than a mile away, just across the now steel fence that marks the border.
One of the interesting things for me as well was just some of the inversions of the expected that have come up with the podcast. So obviously the president had that terrible line about murderers, rapists and bad hombres coming from Mexico and Central America, but then we spoke to the former special agent in charge of the El Paso FBI during some of the worst periods of the femicides, and he was saying that the FBI's concern, in fact, was that an American serial killer or rapist or both was crossing south to go and prey on vulnerable women in Mexico. So all of these like cliches and accepted phrases and parts of the discourse, you realize that the deep ambiguity and the two-way traffic of the border much more when you're there than you can ever understand from simply reading about it. Or, I mean, you have to spend some time there to start to get a feel for that.
Well, let's talk about that, because, again, we're all familiar with the story. There's got to be maybe some preconceptions of it, especially, Monica, you've been telling this story several times. Is there anything that surprised you that you uncovered as you're going through this journey? You know, again, like you said, you're more educated, you're more aware, you have a bigger sense of how things are shaping. But is there something, perhaps a preconception that you had that just didn't turn out, or the other way? I mean, just something that completely caught you off guard as you were continuing to unearth this story.
Gosh, sure. There's probably several things that that surprised me and caught me off guard, despite how long I've been following this story. Diana was one of my first mentors in journalism when I interned at the El Paso Times, but I had never really sat down with her and had a long conversation about the work that she had done and the risks that she took to carry out that work. And in a way, her experience kind of shaped my experience in terms of how I went and pursued this story. So I was very grateful to sit down, that this project gave me the excuse to sit down and have these long conversations with Diana, that we can really talk about the length of investment that she made and what she was able to uncover.
You know, if you casually Google femicides Juarez or murders of women in Juarez, it's really very hard to pass through like what's actually happening there. And even now you'll get results about Abdul Latif Sharif Sharif, the so-called Juarez Ripper, who went to jail in 1995 and was never released. And so it has been presented in all kinds of different ways. It's been presented as a in terms of a genocide and a femicide by international bodies like the UN. And it's been presented as this kind of lurid one-off murder mystery in terms of, like, you know, the Juarez Strangler or whatever it may be. And trying to pick a balance between looking at it as a macro sociological issue, which of course it is, but also something which has these extraordinary twists and turns and car chases and unusual discoveries and strange things going missing from crime scenes. I mean, it does have both. So it's been an interesting process to strike the balance, but Sandra Rodriguez Nieto in her book La Fábrica del Crimen about Juarez, she interviewed this young boy who had murdered his parents and burnt their bodies and all sorts of terrible things, and she said to him, you know, well, why did you do this? Why did you think you'd get away with this? And he said, well, look what happens to the women here, and nobody cares. And so just this idea that what can begin as a singular act of violence, if left unchecked, can become a cancer in society. And how that applies in the U.S. as well has been really eye-opening for me.
Oz, I think you gave us the perfect cliffhanger to get us to tune in. Today, my guests have been Mónica Ortiz Uribe and Oz Walushin, hosts of Forgotten Women of Juarez podcast. Seriously, tune in. It's wonderful. And thank you guys for your amazing work and for giving these women another voice. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Marina. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.